This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Random Movie Generator with myself, David G. Earl, and David
Edwards at the ready, sir. Absolutely at the ready.
Lovely to see you in this new year, David.
Lovely to see you. 2024, a brand new cinematic arena of fun waiting for us to leap into.
I remember being sat in school thinking, I'm going to be 26 in the year 2000. Now look at us.
God, that is nuts, isn't it? Really, is that weird?
We are well past
we
that,
are
aren't we?
Well past. The whole idea of the Stanley Kubrick 2001 Space Odyssey is old news. Simple as that. It really is.
Any famous movies that were set in the year 2024 where we should now be riding on hoverboards and...
God, well, I mean, I think Back to the Future 2 was like 2015, wasn't it? Something like that. I'm pretty confident. I can't immediately pluck the date out the top of my head, but I think it was the 2010s. What was Blade Runner? We passed the Blade Runner date. I know that for a fact.
Remember Prince singing about 1999?
Oh, absolutely. Prince. And Jarvis Cocker, Disco 2000. I mean, you know, they were so paranoid by those dates back then. They thought... there was going to be some kind of cyber bug, wasn't there, that was going to bring the whole kind of sort of electrical cyber internet network down. And God, that was a well-described cyber attack there. And
but Ryan Holder says Time Cop was 2004.
You are joking. Flipping it, 2004? That was...
I've not seen that.
Well, that's like... Well, first of all, they've worked out how to time travel, and cops use it regularly. That hasn't happened yet, thank God. Absolutely nuts. 2015... I mean, the thing is, one really interesting thing... I listened to some Back to the Future deep dive podcasts recently by a podcast in America called Blank Check, and they were saying that there were some strong predictions in Back to the Future 2, and one thing Robert Zemeckis predicted was going to be our obsession with nostalgia. There was loads of nostalgia stores everywhere, like Sports Nostalgia Antique Store, an 80s cafe, and that was an interesting thing. Okay, hoverboards haven't come around. And also, it's got to be said, though, that massive hologram comes out at Michael J. Fox in the form of a shark to promote Jaws 19, which is directed by Max Spielberg, on the poster, which is Steven Spielberg's son. And I think Max Spielberg went into computer games, actually didn't go into films. But the thing is, if you go to places like Japan and places in America, there are holograms like that that are quite incredible. There was an amazing dragon one to promote Game of Thrones in Tokyo. Literally, it's like hanging on the side of a building and like then flashing its tongue at passers-goers.
Oh, I think you showed me that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So that is the hoverboard is the only horn in Zemeckis' side, I think.
And Madonna, I saw in a video this morning, sort of writhing around with women, who were sort of kissing her. And what do you make of that?
I haven't seen that. I'll be googling Madonna ASAP.
I just haven't seen Madonna for ages. And I went, oh, there she is. She's still at it.
And what was she doing? Was it a music video?
They were sort of getting all sexy and whatnot.
Was it the back of a limo or something? What was happening?
No, he's on stage.
Gosh, is she bad?
But don't reach. Oh, yeah.
She's had some bad facelifts recently, isn't she? She's got that kind of feline cat look that a lot of...
I don't know why I brought it up. I think we're talking about the 80s.
Oh, God, it's all... Madonna's always relevant, isn't that? Full stop. She's the queen of pop. Not even Taylor Swift can cast a shadow over her legacy. Type of thing. There was hadn't her tour been brought to a pause or something because of I didn't think it was taking place, but obviously it is.
She was dancing last night, getting well, Randy.
So it wasn't just a New Year's Eve party; it was her on a stage.
Oh yeah,
jiggling her stuff. Dear God, she tried to go into directing films, didn't she? She directed two movies. Yeah, she directed two movies. One of them was like a period drama romance, but none of them did particularly well. And then she's written a script and was going to direct her own biopic. That was going to be a big, big deal. And her role had been cast and all the actors had been cast. But then the studio wanted to make some changes to the film. And she just turned her back on the whole thing.
The producer of The Cockfields was friends with her.
Really?
And just before Holiday came out.
Oh, wow.
And he told me a super story involving her and him in a hotel room. Nothing like that. But it sort of ended with her going, oh, I've got to do this thing called Top of the Pops tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And then that was the end of sort of, or the start.
God, how were they friends? I was about to say, because Holiday, was that her first album?
That was, I think that was, wasn't that the single where she... Holiday on Top of the Pops, and then she just exploded. I think.
So how was he mates with her then?
I think he worked at a hotel, and she was staying there quite a long time, and they became Ali. And yeah. Anyway, welcome to the Madonna podcast.
Wouldn't absolutely
be great if we could chat about Madonna every episode.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot going on. I listened to an interview of her recently, and her relationship with her mother and father was horrific. There's a lot going on there. It's very, very big. But as you say, let's move off from Madonna, move on to other elements.
David, movies, it's a new year. I'm sure you've got your eyes on lots of... We could do a look ahead, actually, as it's the first episode. Are there any movies coming up that you've heard in 2024? That's nice.
Sorry, I apologise. What, me blow my nose or...?
No, so I thought you just look...
Because I was thinking to myself, that wasn't the most glamorous
That's
thing.
That's nice. No, are there any movies in 2024 coming out that you're very excited about?
Absolutely, absolutely there is. Okay, let's go for it. So January, the two big ones that are interesting me, which are January is good because a lot of the Oscar movies come out that are going to be big for come March when the Oscars take place. And because you've had your big Christmas movies like, God, I was going to call it something else then, Wonka. And,
what are you going to call it?
The solo pleasure activity of the male. I don't know. I was literally one tip away from doing that. Dear gosh, it's early, but it's not that early.
I wish you just said. Obviously, you got the wanker.
And, I know. That'd be an all-time low for me and my cognitive inability to string a sentence together. So those big, big like Aquaman 2, which is obviously a big, big flop for DC, Warner Brothers over Christmas, that didn't do well. But those big tentpole audience, big mainstream films come to an end, yeah. Absolutely. And so January is very good for the Oscar movies now, more character-based, adult-focused films. So two to look at is Poor Things that comes out on the 12th of January starring Emma Stone. that has not been given one bad review. It's by the same European director, Yargos, who did The Favourite with Emma Stone. That was a big Oscar hit. And I've not seen one bad review for that. And
right,
also
that normally
gushing.
Means you go in there going, it wasn't what I thought.
I know, it's terrible. I'm filled with anticipation and I come out not expecting it. It's basically a female-focused Frankenstein movie. It's a bizarre plot. Emma Stone plays a woman who is a corpse in a river found by William Dafoe, a scientist. He takes the corpse to experiment on her. He finds out she's pregnant and then places the child's brain in her head. So she's like a woman's body but has like a child's brain. It sounds completely nuts, but it's got incredibly good reviews.
It has. I'm just looking. Yeah.
The other film, which I read the script for and I was really impressed by, is the new Alexander Payne film that comes out January 19th, starring Paul Giamatti, and the last film they worked on together was Sideways, and that's called The Holdovers, and it's a Christmas film, which is bizarre. We're getting it late. The Americans didn't get it late, and it's the idea that the this private school is closed down over Christmas, but three people have to stay in the private school because they don't have families to go back to, which is a student.
Paul Someone Giamatti. Said it's a bit like Dead Poets Society.
It's got that vibe. Yes, it does have that vibe. Because like Paul Giamatti plays this kind of like grumpy teacher. This kid has to stay with him over Christmas because the kid, they all come from very rich homes. And his mother has got a new stepfather and wants to go skiing with him. With a new stepfather, and says, well, you know, three's a crowd to stay at the boarding school. And they don't get on, the two of them, the teacher and the student. But he starts to, you know, they start to bond in a Dead Poets Society-esque manner. And the other person is the cook, a sort of middle-aged African-American female character. And these oddball characters come together over Christmas. And it's got that Alexander Payne, you know, it's comedic, but it's got a dramatic flair to it. I enjoyed reading the script, definitely. I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm.
February, you have Iron Claw, which is a wrestling movie. That's coming out. It looks really good. It's a dad.
He's
obsessed by wrestling, and he's brought up his three sons to become wrestlers, and they do gain some element of fame in the wrestling community. But ultimately, you see the backlash of the industry and the competitiveness within the actual family. What else is coming out in February that looks interesting? March is going to be June 2. That's obviously a massive deal. Denise Villeneuve, there you go, I remember the name.
Well done, finally
remember the name. That's a big one, because I mean Timothy Chalamet.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
How does the surname
go? You fell
go?
At the next hurdle.
How does his surname go?
I don't know.
There we go. Basically, it's going to be his year, basically. I mean, Wonka literally, what, it's 2023, but it's pretty much 2024. It's still in the cinema now. Then he's got June 2 coming out. There's going to be a Wonka sequel, it goes without saying. And he's going to have two massive franchises, and it's kind of cemented him as a big, big deal. Interestingly, 2024, Marvel are really taking a back seat in a big, big way, because last year was not a success to their box office whatsoever. So they're only bringing out one film, which is Deadpool 3, which is going to bring back Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. You've also got Inside Out 2, which worries me slightly. I'm a massive fan of Inside Out. So to do a sequel, does it need a sequel? Inside Out felt so classy. The Pixar film when they go into the young girl's head. It felt like a Studio Ghibli, you know, like a really classy film that doesn't need a sequel.
Well, Toy Story 2.
Very true. Very true. And I saw the trailer when I saw Wonka, and my niece and nephew were beside themselves. I couldn't wait to see it. So, you know, it's obviously got an audience out there for
that. Would be a good Pixar movie, Beside Themselves.
Absolutely.
What would that be? That would be, can I give you the main character and you have to come up with the... So this is a new made-up movie from Pixar. It's called Beside Themselves, and the main character is called Charlie, and it's a carrot.
So it's called Beside Themselves, and it's a main character called Charlie's a carrot.
A carrot. Just a regular carrot.
Absolutely. basically, Charlie is in allotment and he's beside himself with grief because there's been an allotment apocalypse because the allotment owner has died, but his wife has tried to keep the allotment growing in respect to the dead father. Not far the husband, and has put too much chemicals into the ground, into the soil, and he's the only carrot to survive, and he's just there on his own with his little eyes poking out the soil, and he's literally beside himself. There's no one else beside him, he's just beside himself, and he's just surrounded by all these dead carrots, but more importantly he's beside himself with grief. I mean, could you imagine your entire family dying before you've even met them?
What happens?
Then he starts forming some kind of revenge in his head towards the actual wife. But then the carrot does. But he realizes that he needs to be released from the soil for this to actually happen. So he tries to befriend the wife to actually be plucked out the soil. But she's like, oh, I'm not an idiot. I know once I pluck me out, you're going to try and do some kind of revenge because I didn't look at the instructions properly.
Oh, right, so she knows it's a talking carrot.
Not so much a talking carrot, but she knows that it's the only red growing thing in the allotment because everything else is just full of chemicals and hideousness. And she's thinking to herself, well, I could use that one carrot for my roast, but I think it's got a demonic quality about it because everything else, it's organic society. I've just completely turned to rubble.
Right. Then what?
Basically, she then decides to pluck him from the soil.
Right, okay, we're 10 minutes in.
10 minutes in, and now he's in the actual kitchen. And we get a lot of POV shots from Charlie's point of view as he starts scurrying around the kitchen, just creating problems for her. So it's almost like Macaulay Culkin on drugs in Home Alone, or it's instead of Gremlins, it's Gremlin. And it's called Charlie and it's a carrot. Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Graham Linnan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that'd be quite good. That would work quite well. And I can imagine the last shot would be her settling down. This would be the ending of the film. She's settling down. She's having the roast.
Oh, hang on. I don't think you've sorted out your tricky second act yet.
No, I don't think I have. I can see why. It's easy for me to criticise, isn't it? The end would be her having a roast dinner, lots of gravy, and like a callback to Carrie. And obviously Charlie's in there chopped up, you know, she's cooked him, she's won, she's the final girl like you get in any slasher film. But then suddenly out the blue, Charlie's hand comes out of the gravy and grabs her Adam's apple. Well, she's a woman, she wouldn't have an Adam's apple, would she? That'd be a really reveal. The woman, the wife is the husband, the husband never died,
right?
Women don't have Adam's apples. Do they?
Ask Graham Linnan.
Absolutely, you'll find out. There you go. So I thought about a Carrie ending there. That whole idea is completely demented. I do apologise. You know
that's all right, but it's their windows idea. Have you heard of window ideas?
Absolutely. Thinking, isn't it, they call it as well, definitely.
Yeah. Is that a well-known phrase, window ideas?
Window ideas, sky thinking, they do that a lot in L.A., they talk about that in podcasts. We're just doing sky thinking. We just sort of sit around, kind of. And also, that's when the showrunner works out if you're on their radar, you're on their sort of rhythm. Are you cooking up with ideas? Apparently, they say a lot of the time when they do these sky ideas or sky thinking, window ideas, it gets very personal. The showrunners can dig too deep into your personal life. And not everyone's comfortable with that because they say the more authentic and real the ideas are, the better. And it's just like, you know, I guess it avoids cliches and it makes it as fresh as possible. But I've heard that quite a few times whereby they'll dig a bit deep and they'll just try, because a lot of showrunners have used their own personal experiences already. So you're in the room and it's
so you
like
need someone else's
100%. It's like, am I here as a writer to help with plot and structure, or are you some dark character that wants to pick away into my head?
Ooh.
Because sometimes writers have mentioned in interviews that it's like so-and-so got invited back because they're just completely mental and they've had a horrific upbringing and they've got more to give. And their actual writing ability to structure plot and narrative arc is quite limited. So the showrunner's got the idea of, don't worry about that, I can turn it into a three-act structure. I just need more meat to the bone because I've already eaten all mine.
Wow, and you're going to need a few of those writers in the Carrot movie.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. You know, to put together a proper allotment apocalypse.
Well, thank you, David. There's a couple of other... Can I mention a couple of movies that you probably were going to
Probably wasn't, and you're enlightening me, which is lovely. Do you know, I've forgotten completely where we were, what we're talking about, what my postcode was, my gender, everything.
Joker, October.
Joker 2, Todd Phillips is back, Lady Gaga, and apparently it's going to have like a musical element with Lady Gaga being about.
Oh, yeah.
People are so excited about that, that there's podcasts that are already saying, 6 months, we're doing a big Joker 2 review, we're going to get the cast in, you know, blah, blah, probably more than 6 months away. But they're already talking about it now, their episodes, and what they're going to do.
Here's some movies, David, you know, most anticipated of 2024. If you've heard about it, then give us a little line on it. If you haven't, then I'll give you a little line on it and you can react to it if you're up for it.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Okay. I saw the TV Glow.
Never heard of that one. That's interesting. What is that?
Jane Sherburn's feature film debut in 2021, we're all going to the World's Fair. It was a small but delectable dish of cinematic creepypasta. But her new movie, I Saw the TV Glow, Emma Stone as producer, supporting cast including Connor O'Malley, Phoebe Bridgers, and Fred Durst.
Oh my God! So what's that called? We all see the film, the TV Glow.
I Saw the TV Glow.
The fairground one, their first one, I think that was about some kind of video game drug or something. Almost had a David Cronenberg vibe. I Saw the TV Glow. I know nothing about that. I'll Google that.
Okay. Next movie is out in February. I love this section. Do you, David?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
This feels like a proper first episode of the new year.
Absolutely.
Here we go.
And also, if it's films I don't know about, great.
Drive Away Dolls.
I've read the script for that. That is the
Have
new,
you?
Yes, that's the new Ethan Coen film. He's not working with his brother. Oh. It's only one of them, and he wrote it with his wife. And it's two lovers, two female sort of lesbian companions, if that's the right description. And they're going across state on a drive, and it's classic Coen brothers, although only the one Coen's directing this one, because unknowingly gangsters are after them because they have some kind of, it's either money or some kind of precious item. It's a long time since I read the script. It was a very early draft that's in their boot. So it's very much a caper in the Coen-esque style.
Okay.
And two kind of like unlikely companions as well.
Okay, here's another movie, March the 8th, Love Lies Bleeding.
Is that the new Kirsten Stewart film?
Yes.
Is it about the keep fit wrestling?
Yes.
I was reading
a gym
about
manager
that
with family ties,
yes,
to a criminal empire, falls in love with a female competitive bodybuilder.
That does sound really interesting. I heard
that's
about
another
that.
Female companion.
Yes, it is a female companion.
It's
film.
A lesbian.
Absolutely, simple as that, and I'm going to embrace it, and I'm going to applaud it every time they hold hands in the cinema.
Yeah,
it's a case of the director of that is a British female director, and she did Saint Maud, which was a low budget.
Yes, Rose Glass.
That's it, low budget British horror movie, and that looks really good. Kirsten Stewart's very much like Robert Pattinson with her choices, isn't she? She likes to go with something a bit more sort of creative and eccentric. So yeah, it looks good.
Mickey 17.
That's going to be the Parasite director's first film since Parasite. What's his name? Bong Ho.
Bong.
Just Bong. Bong. I should just go
Bong Joon Ho.
Bong Joon Ho. So it's a science fiction film about cloning based on a very successful novel. as you say, it comes out my birthday, actually, March 29th.
Ooh.
It's Robert Pattinson. He stars in it, we just mentioned. And
I
it's
love
about
that
cloning.
You know so much about movies, David. You know the movie is coming out. You know when the date is. It's incredible.
It's kind of on that line between slightly worrying and incredible, isn't it? It's that case of I need to perhaps find myself another...
If I'm listening to a movie podcast, I need to know that I'm in safe hands.
Well, I always need to know what comes out my birthday. And on the date, 29th...
Out your bum.
Absolutely. Out the bum is going to be Bong and Pattinson. And it looks good. I think it's the idea of once you've used up your... You know, clones can just be deleted and gotten rid of. No one knows the exact twists within the script, but obviously it's his next film after Parasite, so they call it his blank check movie, don't they? It's the movie you can do, right, you can do whatever you want now, son. What do you want to do? And this is what he's decided to do.
Are you aware of the person in YouTube, in our YouTube community, called Eubanks?
I think you mentioned him before.
They share your birthday. You share each other. You have the same birth. You both have the same birthday.
Well, that is a beautiful feeling of connection. Well, hopefully we'll be both watching Mickey 5, and we'll have to tweet on the random movie generator feed of what our views are on that big, big birthday day. I'm going to be eating a
Here's
giant...
another movie. Sorry, David. There's That's so right. many to get through.
No, go for
Hitman.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's got massively strong reviews. That's the new Richard Linklater. Do you remember we spoke about that? Did really well at Sundance.
Yeah.
And it's the idea that he's paid to get people to sign a contract to say, I'll pay you if you kill my loved one or whoever. And then he takes that contract to the police. So he's not a hitman. He just gets you, not framed. You are actually wanting to kill somebody.
Yeah, so this is the story I told you, the real life story that happened.
Oh, yes. I think it's based on a real life story as well. Richard Linklater paid for the newspaper article. He paid for the rights and then he wrote it. Who is the guy starring in it? Because he was in Top Gun 2 and they say he's going to be a big, big star. He was like the Iceman-esque.
Glenn Powell?
Glenn Powell's going to be massive. That's what everyone's predicting. He's going to be the big boy. He's got a rom-com out at the moment set in Australia and with Sweeney, the actress from Euphoria, that's doing very well. And he's showing that he can do action with Hitman. He can do rom-coms. He's got that Will Smith range.
Next movie, Challengers, April.
Challengers is the tennis set one. I started reading the script for that. And I don't know why I got distracted, but it is good. The thing is, it's about pro tennis players, but it's more about two boys and a girl. The girl is an incredibly successful actress. I can't believe I've gotten a name. She also stars in Euphoria and the Spider-Man franchise. Zenye. My niece just constantly bangs on about her.
Zendaya.
She's... It's like me forgetting the name of like Steve Martin for our generation. It's ridiculous. I've got that wrong. But basically, it's more about their romance off the court. It's cleverly edited together in the sense that it's during a tennis game between the two boys. And as they're playing this tennis game, you then have flashbacks to the romance with Zendaya. So she's
Zendaya.
Zendaya. She's in the audience watching them as they're competing, having this tennis game. And then you have flashbacks between the romance, which created another competition between the two men. And also, it's by a very well-known director. Can't remember his name. It's the Timothy Chalamet and Arnie Hammer did a romance.
Luca Guadagnino.
Absolutely. Very big European director.
Next movie, April the 26th, coming out, Civil War.
Oh my goodness, that was going to be in my news bulletin for your good self, sir. The trailer for that dropped just before Christmas. It's a new Alex Garland film. He's the guy who did Ex Machina. And and it's basically... And
the
also
beach?
He wrote,
The Beach.
He wrote the novel for The Beach that John Hodge adapted for Danny Boyle. And also he wrote the script for 28 Days Later. And basically it's...
Did he?
Oh, he's done loads of stuff, Alex Garland. He's great. He did Dread. If you haven't seen Dredd, watch that, the Judge Dredd movie. He wrote and produced that. But basically, Civil War is set in a near future where there's a literal civil war in America. And you see Kirsten Dunst, who's a photographer slash journalist, go through America like it's a war zone, actually reporting on the idea that there's two groups. It's almost like Trump America, you know. Everyone's become so reactionary that you've got a literal civil war, North and South, battling on the same soil.
Well, that's out in April, end of April. Yeah. I hope everyone likes it. I'm loving this. I like the fact we're looking forward to these potentially super movies. And May the 3rd, we have The Fall Guy.
Absolutely. That is the same guy who directed Deadpool 2. So he's a well-known... And also, he directed the Terminator, the last Terminator film. And he's got a special effects background. And Fall Guy is basically based on the TV show from the 80s.
Yeah.
It's going to star Ryan Gosling. And it's very much Ryan Gosling going down his Barbie Ken route of him playing this kind of very much sort of douchebag, kind of bit of a loser, but good-looking kind of Hollywood figure. And it's the idea that one of the celebrities on the actual film set is being stalked and potentially murdered. And it's his job as the... he's given an extra job because he needs money to use his stuntman skills to locate who the person is that's raining terror on this celebrity. And yeah, there's lots of action sequences, but done in a very comedic manner. So it's very much in keeping with his kind of Ken comedy route he's going down at the moment.
There's do you know the American writer Megan Amrang?
No, what has she written? That's interesting.
She's very good on Twitter. I don't know, but she wrote, "At what age does Ryan Gosling become Ryan Goose?"
Very good question. I mean, that's a podcast in itself, isn't it?
Good little tweet, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think if he's going to be Ryan Goose, he needs to grow
Ryan
like a
Goose
handlebar moustache, I think.
Ryan Goose. Okay, good name.
It certainly is.
May the 24th, we have Furiosa, Mad Max saga.
That's a big one. So that's, once again, terrible my names, but it's the actress from Queen's Gambit and also Last Night in Soho. Her name will be on the description, I think. She plays Charlie Theron's character in Mad Max Fury Road. So it's a prequel to Mad Max Fury Road. So that's it. Absolutely.
Anya Taylor-Joy.
That is the one. So Mad Max isn't in this. It focuses on Charlie Theron's female character in the apocalypse. And Chris Hemsworth has got a big part in it, you know, a.k.a. Thor. He's got like a bizarre fake nose, but he said it was the most enjoyable acting experience that he's ever had. So the reason why I mentioned the prosthetic nose is because it's not his usual kind of like incredibly charismatic action hero figure. I think he's more of an anti-hero nemesis figure. But I mean, Mad Max Fury Road has gone down as a modern classic. Amazingly, George Miller directed it again. And George Miller must be nearly in his 90s. And he does loads of live action. So he goes out in the middle of these deserts and films these amazing desert sequences.
78.
He can't be 78. He must be more than that. George Miller director.
78.
Oh, right, I thought he was older than that.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, 78's still impressive. Bloody hell. I'd be amazed if I'm still here, 78. But,
you'll be still here, won't you?
If modern science can download a brain...
What's gonna take you?
I don't know. I think my diet that's revealed every Friday night is just a little sneak peek of what's going to push me further to the coffin.
What's going to come?
What's going to come, basically, you're quite right. But definitely that does look good. The trailer got loads of hype, massively.
Okay, next movie, David. The next movie to be decided, TBD. To be decided, I guess.
Yeah,
so.
That is to be decided, yeah.
Oh, Canada.
Right, I don't know about that one. That sounds interesting. Who's in that?
Do you want to know?
Please, please, please do.
A year after being hospitalised for COVID, Paul Schrader shot his 25th feature.
Oh, wow.
In 3 weeks flat in New York City.
What?
The story is about a Vietnam-era draft dodger looking back at his life from his deathbed. The cast includes Richard Gere, Michael Imperioli, and the suddenly ubiquitous Jacob Elordi. Schrader's as tenacious as they come, and his late career comeback has been amazing to see. That is O Canada.
I'm looking forward to that. So they filmed that already. That's done.
Mm.
God, interesting stuff. Did I say to you, I read a fascinating article about Paul Schrader, I think I did on the podcast, that he now lives in this very swanky retirement home in New York because his wife's got dementia.
This is the taxi driver dude, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the taxi driver dude, yeah. Oh, Canada, I knew nothing about that. And working with Richard Gere again, that's fascinating because I haven't worked together since the 80s. That's great. I'll look into that.
Okay, next movie. To be decided, The Shrouds.
Do you know, I don't think I know about that one.
Would you like to know?
Please, please, please.
Oh, Canada, part two.
You are fresh joking.
Fresh off the critical triumph of Crimes of the Future, David Cronenberg is set to unleash what advanced rumours suggest may be his most visceral and intense vision ever. No official release date on this one, but considering that Cronenberg is pretty much ensconced at a festival premiere, at least, seems likely.
Wow, a new Cronenberg film. That's amazing. And what was the last one he made called again? Modern...
Crimes of the Future?
Crimes of the Future. I haven't seen that yet, but it's quite bizarre, isn't it? It's about how people become obsessed with the new fashion is morphing and doing surgical work to your body.
Yeah, I remember you telling us about that.
Very, very bizarre. Kirsten Stewart was in it. It had a big, big cast. But it was like fashion had gone from clothing to actually playing with your body, like having a third nipple on your forehead or a hand between your legs. Bizarre stuff like that.
And between your legs.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. As it came out of my head, I was like, what would that mean? That's a whole movie in itself.
The hand between your legs.
Absolutely. So before having intercourse, instead of, you know, actually doing what you're supposed to do, you'd shake the person's hand, which would be bizarre, wouldn't it? Move on. just
the next movie that's out on June the 7th is, I bet you know about this, Ballerina.
Absolutely. That's going to be the John Wick spin-off.
Yes, sir.
Did you say you met the director just before he was going to make that at all, very briefly? The John Wick spin-off?
Oh.
It's the guy who's married to the well-known female actress, I can't remember, and he did all the... what are those films he did that were really popular?
Yeah, I did then.
The vampire movies.
Yeah. I did meet him, yeah.
So we can't leave them hanging on that.
What was his name? What are the vampire movies?
The vampire movies started... Surely someone in YouTube can help us out with this. It's pathetic that I can't remember them. There was a whole series of them. Bill Nighy.
Underworld?
Underworld, thank God. There you go. He's the director of all the Underworld films, and he's married to the lead actress of the Underworld franchise.
Yes.
And it's ridiculous. I can't remember her name.
What was his name? Len Wiseman.
Len Wiseman, absolutely. He also did the Total Recall remake with Colin Farrell that didn't do too well. So is it on the, so what was he with Friends?
We're in a swanky restaurant in LA.
Oh, what are you eating?
I was feeling like I was cock of the walk.
Oh, wonderful stuff.
Yeah. Sat at the table, chatting to agents. Hey. Oh, hi there.
Is that what it's like? Were the agents calling out to people?
No. She was just going, hi. Hi.
Gosh,
and I was like, who's he? That's Len Wiseman. Who's Len Wiseman? He does the Underworld movies. I've never heard of the Underworld
That's
movies.
Amazing, David. That's incredible. Do you remember what you ate, what you drank? Just give us a quick little... Sorry, this is me being too nosy.
Glass
of wine and some mashed potato. That's all
just
you need.
Just swanning around that venue like it was God's gift.
Like Michael Jackson.
I can't believe I wore leather. It's the first time I wore leather trousers. I'm not doing that again.
What inspired you to do that?
No, I didn't really.
I was going to say, that sounded amazing. Why not? Sort of a bit like In Excess.
Oh, fuck it. I'm going to wear leather trousers tonight.
Absolutely. Putting some talcum powder on beforehand so you can slip them on, you know.
Well, how would you be if we met up in a pub and I was wearing leather trousers? You'd have to say something, wouldn't you? Would you be frustrated with me? Annoyed?
No, I think I'd question that. I'd be thinking, oh, they're obviously back in fashion now. Because it's not like you to do anything that crazy. So it'd be more like, I'd be almost critical towards myself that I've missed the fashion train that is leather trousers. I'd be looking at them thinking, could I fit into some leather trousers?
And I'd go, what are you looking at?
Just admiring your new leather outfit, mate.
You sarcastic bastard.
There's no sarcasm here, pal. I think it's doing well. I like the way the light is dancing on the leather patterns. You're pulling them off. All right, they're a bit short at the hem, so I'm seeing your ankles. You're not wearing socks, but I'm respecting that you're going barefooted as well. I think you're pulling off something new and exciting, and I'm applauding.
I can imagine getting sucked into the LA. No, I can't imagine getting sucked into the LA wave. Like, not what we're talking about. I wanted to go home.
I think everyone gets sucked in, but then spat out at some point, don't they? Which is the problem.
Steady.
I know. You've got to be steady about it, full stop.
Okay, next movie. That's Ballerina.
Ballerina coming out. And who was the actress? It's the actress who was in the last James Bond film. She was in Act 2.
Anna de Armas.
She played Marilyn Monroe, didn't she, on the Netflix movie? Mm. And she's a striking female. I'll leave it there.
Next movie. So, I mean, this feels like it's going to be the whole pod. I hope you don't mind. I'm really enjoying it. If I was going to download a movie pod on the start of the year, I'd go, this is what I want.
Absolutely. It's a new year, and it always gives you a calendar route through the year, doesn't it? This is what I'm going to be enjoying. If you're a movie fan, this is the carrot that's going to keep you, that's going to be dangling.
And you're the guy who's going to review them all, and that's the beauty.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, June the 21st. The Bike Riders.
The Bike Riders is really interesting. It stars Austin Butler and Tom Hardy.
He was sat in front of me at the BAFTAs.
What? Austin Butler was? Elvis. And did you see him interact with people? How did he come over?
Kept going like that. No, I don't.
We do. Just so people, listeners know, did the impression of a snake. With his tongue manically coming out, a bit like a serial killer in a Silence of the Lambs film.
No, he didn't. Again, I hadn't seen Elvis. I didn't know who he was.
Oh,
but
my
then when
Lord.
He got on stage, I was like, fucking hell, that's the bloke who was... Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be a big star. He's got a big TV show coming out in January.
He's a handsome bugger. Fucking
oh, God,
hell.
Yeah. On Master, it's called Masters of the Sky, and it's about the Second World War bombers. And the thing is, it's based on... it's the same team... Spielberg and Tom Hanks did Band of Brothers and Pacific, so it's supposed to have that really gritty feel. And the only thing that stops it having a gritty feel is that Austin Butler is just too good looking. Do you know, he's so good looking, it can't be grounded and real. He almost looks like Elvis doing one of his post-Vietnam kind of like war movies.
I mean, I was looking at him going, I think he just won a BAFTA for his performance. He goes on stage, he's so handsome. He's in his early 20s. He wins this award. I burp.
Oh!
The world is his oyster.
Wowzers.
I wonder if he's happy.
Did he seem happy? Was there a skip in his step?
I wonder when you go back to the hotel and you close the curtains, you get into bed. Is he happy?
I think what he'd be thinking to himself is, you know... Am I going to get the Oscar? Is this one step away from me getting the golden chap?
Oh my God, he is like... Well, I was looking at him going, he could do anything, anything. I'm going through Gatwick Airport. He's on a fucking poster. He's selling bloody aftershave. He looks fantastic.
I think the other nightmarish thing is, if you've got any anxiety or paranoia, everything's open to you that's hedonistic. So women, drugs, food. Do you know what I mean? Men, and don't leave them out. They're part of the deal as well. And it's very much a case of, you know, as an adult, you know that when you have high anxiety or stress because there's expectations, you want to medicate just to lower the anxiety slightly. And the medication buffet that's available to an A-list star is going to be It ain't going to be Butlins. We're talking Centre Park. You know what I mean? All the trimmings. And that's where things can go wrong, unfortunately, I think.
July the 26th, we have Deadpool 3.
That's a big one with... just briefly about the Bikers Club, though, really, really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
That was that should have come out months ago, but because the actors strike, they couldn't get the actors out to publicise it, because obviously it's got big actors. Jodie Comer's in it as well from Killing Eve. So Fox dropped it, and it didn't have a distributor, and at one point it wasn't going to come out in the cinema. But they've got like a smaller independent company to bring it out in the summer. But Deadpool 3... big deal, because obviously Deadpool's a big franchise. It's the only main big movie Marvel the studio's bringing out in 2024, because they really want everyone to go into comic book rehab this year. You know, they don't want to saturate them with loads of comic book movies like they did last year. So when it's 2025, everyone's had a nice breather. But Deadpool 3 has got Hugh Jackman back as Wolverine, and he's in his classic yellow X-Men 90s style suit, which is interesting because, you know, Logan was supposed to be the end of the Wolverine franchise, but he's back. So that's a big deal.
August 2nd, David. This excites me. I don't know why, but it does. Trap. This will excite you when I give you a little bit more info. You ready?
I've not heard of this one at all.
M. Night.
Ah, Shyamalan. Right, okay.
What's okay, do you want to know about it?
Yeah, who's in that one then?
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, let's go for it.
The only thing we know for sure about M. Night Shyamalan's new thriller is that it stars Josh Hartnett alongside Shyamalan's songwriter daughter, Celeca. Last summer, the ever-chatty filmmaker teased a few details, revealing the story was set at a concert and that the novelty had less to do with the plots than the use of point of view. At this point, Shyamalan has fully revitalized his career and stands alone, or at least alongside his spiritual inheritor, Jordan Peele, as America's reigning master genre director. Hopefully his modest but real winning streak continues.
It looks like Josh Hartnett's definitely coming back, isn't he? He appeared in Oppenheimer and got good reviews for his part. And obviously, he was in a Black Mirror episode, which I thought was okay, but got positive reviews. That looks interesting. Apparently, M. Night Shyamalan's other daughter, she's got her directorial debut coming out in 2024 as well. And it's a horror film. Also, Spielberg's daughter has got a horror film coming out in 2024 as well. So, what they call them, Nepo babies, don't they? Which a lot of people have gone on Twitter slamming that. Like, Ben Stiller suddenly became very vocal. Because obviously his mother and father are both comedians.
Yeah.
I think his father's just passed away. But he uses Twitter to promote his work. But when people were using this whole Nepo kids element, because it was Spielberg's daughter that they were attacking. She brought out a film that was starring Chris Penn's son, that was based on Stephen King's son's short story. And the producer was also part of Hollywood. And that's what got her the opportunity. I think she could have done a film anyway. Do you know what I mean? Being Spielberg's daughter. But that, you know, Stiller got really into it. And other people as well who are parents as actors got involved.
Next movie, August the 16th, Alien, Romulus.
Yes, interesting, isn't it? In a big, big way. It's who's the director's not that impressive doing it.
Let me have a look. Because usually they're big auteurs.
You know, it's a Fincher or it's Scott coming back. But then again, I guess
that's this. Say?
It might be the director. It's the guy who directed it. Directed a very basic, quite popular Netflix movie. I guess we're in the streaming age now. And, I mean, let's have a look.
Imbroglio.
And does it say what he did beforehand? I think he's the director of the Breathe films. It's something...
Prey?
Oh, it can't be Prey. That's no. A new Predator no, movie. He's sorry, a well-known no, director. No, Dan.
Sorry. I don't know.
I think
the movie's lead is Kaylee Spani.
Yeah, now she played... Kaylee Spani. She played Presley in the new Elvis movie directed by Sofia Coppola, and she was very, very good in that. So I think it's in very, very capable hands. It's going to be set in Earth, and it's going to be a very young, focused cast. I don't know if it's going to be Stranger Things, but they've been talking about...
On Earth?
On Earth, sorry.
Oh, not it's in, like inside... Okay.
No, not okay. Inside the core of the Earth. I think if I... That was me, sorry, if I constructed that sentence a bit more clearly. But it's going to be set on Earth, which they've always thought about 20th Century Fox. It's always an idea they've gone for during the early development of the films, but now they're going for it. And it's for a younger cast, almost a kind of Strange Things. I don't know if it's going to have that tongue-in-cheek 80s vibe, but they're, I guess, a bit like Ghostbusters as well, the new Ghostbusters films. I don't think they're going to be as young as the new Ghostbusters cast. I think it's more like older teens, very young 20s, but it's more like a gang of kind of like more younger film stars to attract a younger audience.
Okay, we've got November. We're nearly there. November the 22nd, Gladiator 2.
Wow. I mean, it's just like George Miller, isn't it? I know for a fact that Ridley Scott's well in his 80s and he's out there in Malta filming these massive arena fight sequences. Denzel Washington is now part of the cast. He joined near the end of the film, the filming period, and it will be interesting. The thing is, it's not a literal sequel, is it? It's more like Joaquin Phoenix's character's son is involved, so it's more like looking at his lineage, because obviously Russell Crowe's character was killed off, but it's basically going to be another sword and sand... Sword and Sandals gladiatorial epic directed by Ridley Scott, and I think they've almost crowbarred into the sort of Gladiator franchise, but it does look good, definitely. Who is the star? Massive guy, isn't it, once again?
Paul Mescal
from
Coronation Street.
Was he in Coronation Street?
No, Dad.
I was going to say, he started off Normal People, that was it, Normal People, the BBC Three series.
Right. And then, the final... Sorry, go on, Dave.
No, you go for it, the final one.
Well, the final... I'm just thinking of time and get... I want to do the movie random movie review plus get one randomly selected for the next
100%, 100%.
And the final movie, the most anticipated... One of the most anticipated movies of 2024 is out on Christmas Day this year. Nosferatu,
absolutely. That is the guy who directed The Witch, and it's David Eggers, isn't it? And he's doing a modern day interpretation of Nosferatu, and I believe, is it William Dafoe who's playing the actual Nosferatu figure?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's like, once again,
you know your stuff.
Well, I don't know, mate. I think it goes from two extremes. I can't remember the name of any of the actresses and actors that are constantly I'm bombarded with on the internet as, you know, hook bait.
David, because you know so much about movies, it's making me question, do I know anything about anything? Can you ask me a question about Exeter City Football Club? Just anything. See if I know. Anything that pops in your mind.
Who was their first ever manager?
Don't know.
But I wouldn't know that.
Something about this year. Something up to date like this okay. was.
This year, who was the person who was injured most on pitch?
Injured most on pitch?
Yes, on the field.
I'm going to say Dion Rankin because he was off for a long time.
There you go. An answer has been given to
me. Or Dimitri Mitchell.
Full salute you there, Captain. Jimmy, you're not.
Does that make you go, God, I don't know anything?
No. Well, absolutely. If someone said to me, who had the biggest health issues on set this year, I'm not sure who I would say. I don't know. Who took the most drugs?
Who
this
had
year?
The biggest health issues on set
this year? I guess it might be Jamie Foxx. There was bizarre.
What's wrong with him?
Jamie Foxx, I don't know if anyone got to the bottom of what his issue was. He stopped filming the Cameron Diaz romantic comedy, and then there was photos of him that he'd given himself, that he'd done himself on his phone, and he put up on Twitter, and he just said, I've been through hell, I'm coming back, I'm going to be with my family, and he just looked incredibly pale, like he'd been attacked by a vampire.
Oh my God, I've just seen it, David.
It was never really clear what his issue was.
Oh my God.
Very bizarre.
A mystery illness. Oh, how horrible.
So he had to,
Jamie Foxx, I Went to Hell and Back.
Yeah, definitely.
Shit.
He was filming a Cameron Diaz Netflix movie. She's coming back. And, so there's a big drama there. But I'm sure they must know by now what it was. But I've never been able to get to the bottom of it.
Jamie Foxx gave an update on his health after he suffered an undisclosed medical emergency earlier this year, revealing that he has a new respect for life.
Wow.
I want to thank everybody. That's crazy. I couldn't do that. I cherish every single minute. I saw the tunnel. I didn't see the light.
Blimey.
It was hot in that tunnel. I didn't know what was going on. Shit. Am I going to the right place? I see the devil coming.
Gosh.
No, I see the devil going, come on. What?
I think he was very near to taking a seat next to the big JC. Do you know what I mean? I think he was very near those pearly gates.
What happened to him?
I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, he took a photo of himself in A&E, and he's rushed out during filming, perhaps supposedly a romantic scene with Cameron Diaz. Maybe it was her kind of charisma and sex appeal that sucked his soul out of his mouth, like a scene out of Ghostbusters or Rent-A-Ghost, which is quite surreal.
Did they suck a soul out of someone's mouth from Rent-A-Ghost?
They certainly did. It was in an antique shop, and then and it came out like smoke, like a dragon puffing smoke out of its mouth. And then the soul came back to the person who owned the antique shop, and he was so angry, he chased them all around the antique shop, and then the credits rolled at the bottom.
How did the credits go for Rent-A-Ghost? Do you remember?
Rent-A-Ghost. Yeah, ghost. If you ever wonder what's up in the attic,
Rent-A-Ghost.
And it chased him around. So when they did all the hard work to get the soul back into the antique shop owner's body, it was like, oh, what are you boys still doing here? And he chased them around in his tweed jacket. It was very 1970s, very different to Ghosts, the BBC show, which is almost like a sort of modern reinterpretation of that, but with a bit more prestige, isn't it?
David?
Yep.
If your mansion house needs haunting, just call
Rent-A-Ghost.
Hang on, I've got it here.
If your mansion house needs haunting, just call. Mansion house needs haunting, just call. Rent-A-Ghost.
We got spooks and ghouls and freaks and fools. It's a
Rent-A-Ghost. Rent-A-Ghost.
Honestly, when that theme tune came on when I was a boy, I'd go, turn it off.
Oh, really? You didn't like it?
I fucking hated it.
Oh, really? I was always up for a bit of Rent-A-Ghost. Especially the mad, the sort of comedian Mad Hatter character.
Or Timothy Claypole.
Oh, is that what his name is? I've forgotten who he is. So. Oh, right.
Mr. Claypole or something?
I had a lot of time.
Oh, honestly, I hated it. I thought it was so weird. Yeah.
No, for some
reason. Mrs. Popoff.
I don't remember all the characters' names, sadly. I'd like to enter us into some proper deep dive.
Well, you remember the soul being
chat.
Sucked out someone's mouth.
Yeah, I do bizarrely remember that. And it was almost like a Captain Manring-esque actor, you know, like a grumpy old man. A bit Frank Spencer, you know. Oh, for crying out loud. You crazy scamps chasing them around the shop with the credits below, rolling along.
David, thank you so much for this. We only do this once a year, so this is a special episode. Thank you so much for this week's most anticipated movies of 2024.
May it be a holy movie experience. May it be.
David Edwards, Random Movie Review.
So, David, got a crack on, but
absolutely.
If we can do two sections. David, can we do the randomly chosen movie review? Actually, because you must have seen a film on Friday night?
Thursday night, yep.
Thursday night, should we do two in this section? We'll do the newest one and the randomly chosen one. What did you go and see?
I saw Priscilla, the new Elvis film, which is all from the perspective of Priscilla Presley's relationship with Elvis. So it's very much a real eye-opener. I didn't realize that Elvis met her when she was 14, and she started living with him either 14 or 15. She was still at high school. And personally, it might be a controversial thing to say, I thought it was a lot better than Baz Luhrmann's Elvis with Austin Butler.
You didn't like that?
The guy who stars in it as Elvis is Jacob Elordi, who is also in Euphoria. It's interesting, all these stars are coming from the same HBO TV show. And is it Kaylee Spaney? You mentioned her as starring in the new Alien film. She plays Priscilla. Both, I'd say, really strong performances. I think Jacob Elordi is easily as good as what Butler cooked up for Baz Luhrmann's film during last summer. And also, what is fascinating is that Kaylee Spaney, she's very small and very, very, very kind of small in size compared to all the people around her. And when they film her, perhaps in a long shot or behind, she does look like a 14, 15-year-old. And it's quite uncomfortable at times. You know, she's got quite a mature, very glamorous face, but she looks very childlike at times. So they very much highlight that aspect. But I'd say the way it's filmed is very effective. It's got a nice retro, overly stylized cinematography feel. But a lot of it is very intimate in the sense there's lots of ones, as they call it, in the filmmakers call it, in the sense of one takes where there's not much editing. So it's kind of got a retro, almost dreamlike, stylized look, but the camera lingers on the actors as they're acting. It's not overly edited. You feel like you're in the room with them. And the other thing I thought was really nice is that it's set in the 60s and the early 70s. But there's a lot of like modern synthesizer music. I thought that was quite an interesting mix. And it makes you feel as though it's a celebrity tale of the 60s and 70s, but it might as well be the world we're living in now type of thing. And it just, it gives you a far more intimate moment. So I think Elvis, the Baz Luhrmann film, didn't have. So you've
I have not seen you this joyful about a movie for many.
I quite, it's got problems though, unfortunately. There isn't much of a plot there. It's more these very expertly filmed sequences. Richard Curtis recently interviewed Sofia Coppola for the British Film Institute, and she said her writing style was she just writes loads of index cards, loads of scenes that she wants to see on index cards, and she'd be excited to film. And then she puts them in linear order to create some sense of structure. And you really feel that. There's no overhanging plot questions. Yes, you do get to see that, you know, Elvis has got anger issues, and that more and more Priscilla is more of a prisoner than an actual wife. You do get that. But the plot unfolds in quite a slow manner. But the performances and the cinematography, very impressive. The ending, It just comes to an abrupt end, I felt. There was no big tension or climax. There was the beginning of climax. I basically opened a packet of waffles to eat.
Whoa. Okay. That, now we're getting to the juicy. What sort of what? Not potato waffles.
No. I think I mentioned them before. Belgian chocolate waffles from Tesco's. And because I've eaten so much sugar over Christmas, I wasn't going to go crazy on the food.
What do you do over Christmas? You must turn into a sugar ball.
I do for 2 days, and then I just have too much and I get sick of it. Do you know what I mean? I have a limitation. It's just like, oh my God, I just destroy myself, basically. But I literally opened this packet getting ready. Oh, this is act three now. We're going to get into it. And the credits came up.
Oh, like, so you saved the waffles for act three?
Because I was like, Christmas out. You know, I thought, oh, I've got them. I'll have the one, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, opened the packet up and I had to think to myself, I hope these don't go bad in the fridge. Because, you know.
Did that sort of piss you off a bit? That the film stops and you go, I've just opened a fucking pack of waffles here.
I've done it before with some other food. I can't remember what it was. But, yes. Yeah, but he does. I'm setting him for the third act now.
What's weird is that Coppola wasn't thinking about you eating Belgian waffles when she decided to.
Big mistake.
But it had an effect on you.
it did have an effect on me. I was engaged, although there were moments where it was a bit slow. You know, because the thing is, for you to be properly engaged in a film, I think there should be more overhanging question marks, more moments of intrigue that keep you stimulated. But there were other factors that I'd say were high class. Well,
Priscilla, handbrake turn, but, you know, we're podcasters and we know how to deal with it.
That's what it's all about. We're trying to keep current and keep our finger on the film beat.
Priscilla, you had problems with it, but a lot to like. It annoyed you because you're waffles. I would say don't leave your waffles until the last 20 minutes. That's just my opinion.
Definitely.
But maybe you'll know next time to go, does this look like it could end abruptly? Let's eat the waffles 15 minutes earlier.
I was doing Russian roulette there, wasn't I? Russian roulette with my confectionery snacks.
Dangerous game. So let's guess how many choc ices David's going to give Priscilla. This is a bit of a weird episode, this one, but I think it was needed, the anticipated movies. If we can guess in the chat how many choc ices out of 5 David is going to give Priscilla. He did seem very, very upbeat about it. I was quite surprised. There was a big but during the review. I'm going to go for this. Corey has had a guess. So's DDDPPP. They've agreed with me. So's Junkman Jones. Okay, David. So now's the time to give it your review. How many choc ices out of 5 are you going to give Priscilla?
I would definitely say it's your standard 4 out of 5 choc ices. 3.5.
Standard 4. That's a good movie.
Oh, no. That's what I mean, in the sense that that I would say I came away thinking that's your classic 4 out of 5, in the sense that you're engaged, there's a lot of merit there, but it didn't pop each of your socks off. Do you know what I mean? You didn't have an explosion.
It's a 4 out of 5, is it? One that doesn't pop your socks off?
Yeah, there's like missing elements there, but it's got very strong moments.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? It doesn't consistently... The plane doesn't land at the end. You know, it crashes at the runway, but most of the journey was quite luxurious. There was lots to see out the window.
Yeah, that's a lovely way to put it. Nice journey.
But there was a crash landing, unfortunately. We all turned into cannibals on top of a mountain. But before then, it was quite good.
If I was dead next year and you were starving, which part of me... Would you eat my bum?
I'd rip those leather pants off and I'd just go to those trifle buttocks with a fork. Because, I mean, you're dead, aren't you? So it's got to be... And it wouldn't be a meal I'd enjoy. I'd be trying to, like, reminisce on our best times, you know, that you'd be sat on your seat with those buttocks whilst doing some classic podcasting. But you've got to live. You've got to keep going. Simple as that.
You'd have a proper filled tummy, you would.
I would. I'd hopefully leave each buttock as, you know, a buttock a day. So breakfast, lunch, dinner, and sort of carve it into thirds, perhaps.
A buttock a day helps you work, rest and play.
Perfect. I'd be singing that to myself on the top of a mountain alone, basically.
Okay. Thank you, David, for this week's new movie review.
100%. 100%.
David Edwards, random movie review.
We really got a crack on. Okay. So, David, the randomly chosen review this week is, I can't remember, it seems like ages ago. What was it?
It's the 1994 that got nominated for a lot of Oscars at the time, called Quiz Show, directed by Robert Redford.
Wonderful.
And it's starring Ralph Fiennes, fresh from Schindler's List. So he did very well at Schindler's List in 93, and this was like, right, you know, this guy can now carry films alone. So basically, the Quiz Show is about a 1950s TV show, and it becomes more about not so much competition and allowing people to come on to show off their general knowledge skills, it becomes more about actually ensuring high ratings to keep the advertisers happy. And slowly but slowly, they start rigging elements of the show because audiences like to have a winner who seems to be winning week after week. So there's an anticipation of, are they going to do it again? Are they going to do it again? And the producers talk themselves into thinking, come on, it's a quiz show, but at the end of the day, it's entertainment. We all know that. So it doesn't matter if we actually fake some of it. And they go too far, and they literally get a new guy in, played by Ralph Fiennes, who they think America's going to love, and they literally are going to give him all the answers. So it's going to be totally and utterly fake. And the other actor in it is, who played Barton Fink in the Coen Brothers movie, John
Turturro.
You are completely right. And he was the champion before Ralph Fiennes. And then Ralph Fiennes swings in, takes a mantelpiece off him, and he can't prove
it. Mantelpiece?
I've said that before. Takes away the trophy from him. Takes away the trophy. Sorry, mantelpiece. I don't know where I was going with that. I was reaching too far. Apologies. And takes the trophy away from him. And he tries to reveal to the public and to the press and to the government that Ralph Fiennes is just being fed the answers. And Ralph Fiennes is a very nice chap, but he's been slowly seduced by these TV producers to just be fed the answers. And also Ralph Fiennes' father is a well-known academic scholar. So it's a case of that he comes from bright, high IQ people, and he's getting some sense of celebrity himself, like his father, which he's always aspired to, because he's a university lecturer, but it's being done, obviously, the wrong way, ultimately.
Well, let's have a little listen to a Clippington from Quiz Show.
Chandler's instructions are for me to get you up there as promptly as possible. Questions that'll take no longer than 15 minutes. You to receive the questions in advance, and I'm to thank you for the courtesy of attending this hearing.
Mercy. What a grueling line of inquiry.
Must have a familiar ring, the questions in advance.
Would you excuse us for a moment, please? Take this, please. Thank you. Young man.
The ratings went up if the same contestant came back week after week. There was only one way for that to happen. You had to know that.
Young man, I sell over $14 million a year worth of Geritol. Geritol. That's the kind of businessman I am. That show 21 cost me $3.5 million year in, year out. Sales went up 50% when Van Doren was on. 50%. So the very idea that I was unaware of every detail or aspect of that show's operation, well, frankly, it's very insulting.
So you knew.
That's even more insulting.
You had to know. That's what you
just
said.
This is not about what I know. It's about what you know.
You don't know what I know.
You know that Dan Enright ran a quicker quiz show.
Well, he never informed you.
Did he?
Let's see what he says.
David, I reckon when you sat down to watch this, you were very, very confident that this was going to be strong. You were sat in your chair with a little cup of coffee going, pour it all over me. Did you feel like you were in for a treat? And were you? Don't tell us, actually.
Yeah, I was quite confident watching it. I think I was when it first came out, I remember the trailer and the advertising for it. But it didn't grab me because the concept's just too mature. It's an adult drama.
You were 16, 17 probably, weren't you?
Absolutely. I think some 16 and 17 year olds would have been able to meet it halfway, actually. But I was just too kind of like immature. You know, no,
were you?
I was more into my speed and my...
Not amphetamines?
Not amphetamines, thank God, because I think I was speeded up enough anyway. I think I still had the mentality of a toddler back then. But I don't think... I wouldn't have been interested in the kind of... the exploration of ethics that the film takes, you know, the idea of
being
suckered into celebrity and fame and losing your soul as you go down the capitalist street. I'd have no interest in that at all. So it was nice to return to it, you know, as an adult, remembering all the hype around it. I would say what I came away with it, though, very strong performances, really, with John how do you pronounce his name?
From Chichiro, is it?
That's it, Chichiro, you are quite right. And Ralph Fiennes, really strong performances, really good cinematography, very, you know, you feel as though you're in the 50s. And also, as a more mature audience, I enjoy that more, where you look at how people lived in previous decades and eras. That's the sort of thing I wouldn't really have picked up as a young
David viewer. You've matured
like a fine cheese or wine.
You have, though. I like that we matured. Why don't you just say, put your hand up and go, I've matured.
Hand is raised to the ceiling. I've matured. And I think Quiz Show definitely
is giving that evidence.
Thank you. We're the mature club. We're the mature buds.
It's nice,
mature,
isn't it?
Mates. Oh, it's a good feeling. Absolutely, it's a good feeling. And also, as I say, the exploration of ethics. Because Ralph Fiennes isn't like a nasty gold digger. He's been seduced. Also, with the performances, I didn't realise Martin Scorsese plays a character in this film. He acts in it. He plays one of the advertising execs that wants more ratings, so his advertising has got more eyeballs on it. And it's more about advertising money than it is about the actual game and the ethics about it, the actual sport of it. And Scorsese's really good, you know, fast-talking, New Yorker, all about money, trying to hoodwink people that... it's all about, it's entertainment at the end of the day. People are entertained. They've done their job as TV producers.
Yeah. And what is he now? Early 80s, Martin Scorsese?
Oh, easily. He's once again that Ridley Scott, George Miller realm.
So let's 100%. Just say it's 30 years ago. So they probably filmed it a year or two before it came out. So let's say it's 32 years ago. So let's just say he's 51, 52 when he acted it. And let's just say he's my age in the film.
Wowzers, and that's back in the 90s.
Does my fucking head in.
And they're still very relevant and current in pop culture, which is incredible. Do you know what I mean? All of those, they're like in their 80s or late 70s, and they're just, they're still coming out with a hit. I mean, you know, the recent Scorsese one, DiCaprio, that's going to be a big Oscar movie, and Gladiator 2 with Scott, George Miller's got a new one coming out. It's just incredible.
Crazy, isn't it? Well,
The only other sort of drawbacks I'd say about the film is it's at times, and I think it shows that maybe our cinema viewing habits have changed and expectations. It's quite slow pacing at time. The dialogue goes on a bit too long. Today, it would be an HBO prestige miniseries drama.
You say that so many times.
I know. I'm being a bit of a...
no, that's not you repeating yourself. That is just the trend.
I'd also say some of the TV executives, they're a bit one-dimensional. They're a bit demonic. Like, Scorsese, I think, is good because he explains... Because he's part of advertising and he explains how quiz shows, you know... They create money for his company, and you can see why he's seeing it from that perspective. But there are other TV executives that are just like these laughing ghouls that are just like almost James Bond villains, whereas like the Ralph Fiennes and the other characters are a bit more three-dimensional. So I'd say there's a slight criticism there, but there were times where it was a bit plodding and too dialogue-focused.
I missed you tell us who the director was. Who was it?
Robert Redford.
Robert Redford.
Absolutely, behind the lens, doing a very good job. He certainly is. Still sexy today. Even though he's got crow feet on his eyes, he's still a sexy man.
Well, everybody, if we can now guess how many choc ices out of five David's going to give Quiz Show, the 1994 movie Quiz Show. Let's have a little guess. I can't work you out, actually. That Priscilla one has thrown me that you gave that a four. Quiz Show, I think it's sort of held in high regard, this film. You've gone in that. I'm just doing some working out. You obviously thought this is quality. This is, I don't think you were blown away. You probably felt a bit bored. Okay, I've had my guess. Everyone's having their guess. Loads of people go, interesting. Loads of people going down that avenue. Different from me. Let's see now. Okay, David, how many choc ices out of five are you going to give Quiz Show?
Three. again, I will go over four choc ices. 3.5. It's that 0.5, isn't it? It's that 0.5 that creates even more competition in the game.
Do you know, as a good thing. Before, I just lost confidence in 3.5, so I thought he's not going to give Quiz Show 3.5.
Because on the whole, very good stuff. Looking at the ethics of how celebrity culture can kind of entrap your ego, and it goes into like this lonely prison whereby you've got people that are loving you and gushing all over you, but you feel incredibly lonely. It looks at it really well, and Ralph Fiennes is really well cast in it. But there were just times where I could just see my interest dropping, like Priscilla, really. Priscilla was different in the sense that it was really, the plot is very, very thin. There's not many hanging questions hovering over the character's anticipation. This was more too talky at times.
David, can I say something here? Bit controversial. If you say something's 4 out of 5, that is going to make me want to go, I'm sitting down and watching that. However, if halfway through the movie you popped your head in the living room and went, by the way, there's some boring bits coming up, that would annoy me. If a movie has boring moments, I'm disappointed that it's been given a 4. 5 is just an untouchable movie. 4 is, you're going to love this. 3.5, good bits, boring bits.
3.5. I think a 4 is an element whereby there's really, really strong components, but there's just like one or two element that's just not quite. So really well cast, really well filmed, lots of captivating scenes.
Okay.
The third act was good. So you're definitely, you know, embracing it at the end. Maybe it's that second act problem again.
I had to say it. You understand what I had to say.
Oh, 100%. And I think perhaps you've got a point.
Yeah. EJ Swad says, I couldn't agree more with Mr. L. A 4 to me is a super duper whooper film. A 5 is sit down and bloody suck it in. A 3.5 is, not bad. Pretty good. 3.
Maybe
it's
show is a 3.5, you could argue. I think Priscilla is a 4. I was impressed by Priscilla. I think it had good points. What is a 4 to you then? Can you give me an example of a 4
you? That's good. Well, a movie that's a 4, that's a good question. Joker.
Yeah, I think Barbie was a 4 for me in the sense that it had like a new, fresh energy, but not everything connected with me. I think that's that film. It's got something, it's got an exciting energy about it with the cinematography, the acting, the music, but perhaps it didn't captivate you the entire time. I think it's got to be moments whereby you're pushed out of the film and you question things, isn't it? And then you go back in, but you're totally immersed the whole hour and a half and you're on the joyride, then it's a 5 out of 5.
I'm just going to run through what people have said here. DDD people says 3.5 is just over average. Mike Roll says 3.5 feels decent, actually. Jeff Dale says 2.5 is bang average. Hey, David, you're the Chuck Eyes dude. This is what you wanted to give it. You're giving it a 4. Obviously, David thinks this is a bloody good movie. Just a couple of moments just don't quite work.
I mean, I think the only thing I said that was negative about it was some of the TV executives were a bit, you know, a bit demonic, one-dimensional, sort of Satan figures, unlike the other characters of 3D. And it, in places, it's just a bit too chatty.
Yeah. Thank you, David, for this week's random movie review.
But thank you for the best friend, best critic. Simple as that. You know, we're not just criticising films and Hollywood, we're criticising Dave Edwards. Everything's under the microscope. If you don't do that, you've got a dictatorship on your hands. If not, everyone's under question.
David Edwards, random movie generator.
Now, Mandy's back tomorrow, but Finley is taking over from her this week. I don't know anything about Finley.
Oh, right.
But I ordered Finley in just for this episode, so a bit weird.
Oh, okay, a bit eccentric.
Yeah, Finley's going to be choosing the movies this week.
Is he quite young, part of the TikTok generation?
He's over there, so could you explain to the listeners what Finley looks like, the robot?
Finley is a yellow box, but he's levitating, hovering, if you like, in the corner. He's about the size of a Rubik's Cube, and he's glowing. So yellow, glowing, size of a Rubik's Cube, and he's levitating about up to the window, but not levitating very well. He's like a robot out of batteries, not included, the 80s robot film, where they haven't quite got their flight skills appropriately sorted out. He doesn't look like an American military drone swooping through small villages in Iraq, dropping bombs skillfully. He's sort of knocking into windows, pictures, things in that vein. And we might actually give him a bad review in the company who rented him to us.
Can you tell the listeners at home the word that's written on each on the side of him in red?
Yes. Never sleep, always party. Which isn't good, because it means he hasn't had 8 hours sleep and he's turning up to do a job for us, which doesn't fill me with much confidence. It's got to be said, I'm always up for a party, New Year's Eve at a party, but it's important to sleep if you're going to do your job appropriately and randomly generate films.
Okay, David, so are you ready for the first movie this 100%. Year to be randomly generated for you? The one first movie you're going to review. Okay, so here we go. David's going to pick blindfoldedly the genre of the first movie he might be reviewing next week. Over to you, David, to tell Finley or press Finley's button.
Wonderful. Stop.
Thriller.
What good genre?
And now the decade of this thriller movie.
Stop.
1980s.
That sounds good to me, Captain.
Finley, would you please generate 4 thrilling movies from the 1980s? Finley has. And it's now over to you, David. He's spinning them around in his yellow cube body. It's now down to you, David, to tell Finley when to stop spinning.
Stop.
Predator.
Oh, I haven't seen that for years.
Oh, I knew you'd love that, David.
Do you know, I haven't seen that for absolute yonks. Do you know what? I watched Die Hard in the cinema recently, and that was interesting, whereby you can see it was the formula that started a whole new genre of action films. But it was quite grey, and the action sequences were quite basic going back on it. Okay. Some of it lived up, some of it didn't. It was a mix. It was an interesting cocktail. It was a bit.
I think you're
going to
fall
places.
In love with Finley.
Oh, I think.
What if he
saying.
Just gives you 3 action movies? Bang, bang, bang.
Oh my God! Well, you know, one word for Mandy: redundancy. You know, we live in a capitalist society.
Why Finley's our 2024 robot?
Let's go with it. Maybe he doesn't need to sleep. Maybe he does just need to party.
Okay, Mr. Ed says Finley can come again.
The thing is, though, you don't. We can't be going around like Hollywood just removing females.
Well,
and then just employing our mates.
Very
the old boy
true.
Club. It can't be the
very
old boys true. Finley club. It's got to be open to all.
Very true. Okay, so Finley, press the button. And find the genre of the movie that you might be reviewing next week, David.
So,
mental action.
Thank you, Finley.
Finley!
He is the future. He is the future.
Okay. Now choose the decade of this action movie.
So,
2010s.
Ooh, sexy.
Finley, please produce 4 action movies from the 2010s, please. He has done. And now it's down to you, David, to tell Finley to stop spinning them in his belly.
Stop.
Baby Driver.
Oh, wow. That'd be an interesting one to go back to. They're well, really good I ones. Never.
David, give Finley a high five.
Absolutely, Captain.
DDD PPP says Finley is a right brown noser.
Baby Driver would be really interesting to look at. I saw it in the cinema, but my memory's very vague. I remember enjoying large slices of it, but not the entire thing. So that'd be really interesting. What, Leo, analysing an Edgar Wright film would be great.
Okay, here we go. Let's choose the genre of the third movie you might be reviewing next week.
Stop.
Western.
Oh, here we go.
And now the decade.
Stop.
1950s.
This could go very wrong for me, couldn't it?
Finley, please generate four Western movies from the 1950s. He has done. And now it's over to you, David, to tell Finley when to stop spinning them in his yellow cube body.
Stop.
Shane.
That's a classic. Was that Paul Newman who stars in Shane? Who's in Shane? That is a Alan classic,
Ladd,
isn't it?
Jack Balance.
Right, okay, yes.
Okay. You worried?
I've heard good things about Shane, and that's a well-known actor. Okay. He's in some of Paul Thomas Anderson's films.
Okay, so Finley, thank you, Finley, has come up with the movies. Well, you chose them, David, with your eyes closed. You chose the movies Predator, Baby Driver, and Shane. I've given them an A, a B, and a C, and jumbled them up. Or have I? Yes, I have. Or have I, David? And it's indeed now over to you to tell me which movie you will be reviewing next week. Is it A, B, or C?
C.
Predator.
Oh, oh, goodness me.
Wonderful.
Wonderful, wonderful stuff.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. Do you know, I've got such a vague memory of Predator, so I don't know if it'll hold up or not. Because I said, some of Die Hard did when I saw it in the cinema. Some of it didn't. It was a bit flat and obviously dated. So Predator will be a really interesting experiment to go back to that. Massively.
I think Predator will still be loud, noisy, colourful, and with lots of fun to be had.
Proper dad movie on ITV late on a Saturday night.
You're reviewing Predator, David. This is lovely.
Oh, it really is. I'll look forward to that. So it's John McClane, same director as Die Hard, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for listening this week. And thank you to everyone who joined us live in the YouTube box. Thank you, everyone. That's it. Unfortunately, I can't do an extra. Sorry, I've got to rush off to watch Exeter v Carlisle.
Exciting, though.
Love it. Is exciting. It could be either elation or very, very toxic.
Well, that's like everything in life that's important, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's simple as that.
Thank you, David. Yeah, it's been wonderful speaking to you.
Oh, it has been wonderful speaking to you. Start of a new 2024. Loads of new films to be excited and to review, which is wonderful to focus on. Fills us with new glee.
Thank you very much, everybody. And we'll see you next. And I tell you what, we should try and get some deep dives in.
Oh, yeah, over definitely. The next, 100%. I'll be up for that.
Yeah.
100%.
But, yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I'm totally up for deep dives. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. Thanks, David. Thanks for listening. Please like, subscribe, smash that button, tell your friends, and we'll see you next week.
Tell your friends, please do, and happy 2024.
Thank you very much, everyone. Bye.
Take care.
Cheers, bye-bye. David. Bye.
Au revoir. Cereal salute. Have your breakfast.
Bye, Finley.
Bye, Finley. Thank you.
Bye. Just went, yeah.